If you have your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. And as you're turning there, getting ready to read the scripture, I just want to catch you up on what we're going to be reading about. And that is what happens in Acts chapter 3. In Acts chapter 3, John and Peter are going to the temple for prayer. And as they are walking into the temple, there was a beggar sitting outside the gate, and he was asking for money. And Peter looked at him and said, "We don't have any silver or gold, but this is what we do have. In the name of Jesus, rise and walk." And that beggar got up, that crippled beggar got up, and he began to walk, and he began to jump, and he began to shout. And when Peter saw the opportunity, Peter began to preach Jesus. As this crippled beggar was hanging on to him, he began to proclaim the name of Jesus. He began to proclaim salvation. He began to share the gospel message, and he got in trouble for sharing that message. And some of the people had him arrested and thrown into prison overnight so that he could stand before the religious council the next day. And that's where we're going to pick up reading in the story in Acts chapter 4. Starting in verse 5, it says, "The next day the council of all the rulers and elders and teachers of the religious law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there, along with Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and other relatives of the high priest. They brought in the two disciples, Peter and John, and demanded, 'By what power or in whose name have you done this?' Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, 'Rulers and elders of our people, are we being questioned today because we've done a good deed for a crippled man? Do you want to know how he was healed? Let me clearly state to all of you and to all the people of Israel that he was healed by the powerful name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, the man you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. For Jesus is the one referred to in the scriptures, where it says, 'The stone that you builders rejected has now become the cornerstone.' There is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved." This morning, as we close out our belief series, we're going to be talking about, I believe in the name of Jesus. I believe in the name of Jesus. Let's pray. Father, I ask you the next few moments that you would open up our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our mind to understand, and our heart to receive the fullness of everything you want to communicate to us today. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. And everybody said, amen.
Well, the name of Jesus is enough. That is the message of the Bible. The name of Jesus is enough. The Bible teaches that we're all sinners, that we're all imperfect, that we all fall short of what God's asked of our lives. The Bible teaches that God provided a sacrifice, Jesus, and that by just simply accepting this sacrifice, nothing else, no pre-qualifications, that we can apply that sacrifice to our sins and have payment, complete payment for our sins. And because of Jesus, we have access to God. And so because of this, the Bible teaches us that it's only in the name of Jesus that we have a right to approach God, to be in fellowship with God, to know His Holy Spirit, and to have the benefits of salvation. John 17:11 says this. Jesus is praying for the disciples, and He says, "I will remain in the world no longer, but they," talking about His disciples, talking about all of us, "are still in the world. And I am coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one." See, the name of Jesus doesn't introduce a new deity. See, in the Old Testament, they would say, "Call on the name of the Lord to be saved." Even in our blessing that we do at the end of service out of Psalms 20, it says, "May the name of the God of Jacob keep you from all harm." We raise a victory banner in the name of the Lord our God. In the New Testament, God gave the Lord a name, and His name is Jesus. Jesus. Jesus is the end of a quest for the name of God that started in Exodus 3 and ended in Acts 2. Jesus is the name of God. And so we know that there is no other name. But I want to make it clear. We're not talking about the five English letters, J-E-S-U-S. The power isn't in those letters. The power is in who that name represents. You know I like infographics and I love languages. And so last night I was thinking through this and I said, I want to find a way visually to explain that it's not about the five letters J-E-S-U-S. And so this is what I did. I got all of the languages, translation of Jesus, and I put them into a word file. And then I made a word cloud. And a word cloud works like this. The most common letters in the paragraph of words show up bigger. Okay? So what I'm going to put on the screen right now is a, do you see? Okay. Yeah, it's really fun colors. I love it. It was on a teacher's site. It was fun. But I want to point out that Jesus is kind of over there, and it's middle size. If we wanted to talk about the most common uses of the name of Jesus, Jesus doesn't even rank in like the top five. It's all of these others. It's all of these other names of Jesus. So we can't just be talking about five letters. We can't be talking about something that's limited to the English language. I mean, in Chinese, it's Yesu, okay? That doesn't even sound close. Philip says, how do you spell that? I'm like, you don't spell that. So we're not talking about five letters. We're talking about a man. We're not talking about a spell. We aren't chanters here. We don't try to just get the right words, the right perfect little prayer down, and it makes something happen in the heavenlies. That's not what we believe. We believe in the name of Jesus because of who Jesus is.
And when we call upon that name, we call upon the authority that is in that name. This is what Matthew 28:18, Jesus came and he told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. He said, the Father has given me all authority. You see, you don't want to call on a name that has some authority. You don't want to call on a name that has authority in certain areas or in certain departments. No, whenever you call on somebody, you want to make sure that you call upon the name that has all authority over everything on heaven and on earth. And you see, because Jesus defeated death, hell, and the grave, because Jesus broke the power of sin, because Jesus took back the birthright of mankind, his name carries all authority this morning. It'll carry all authority tomorrow. It'll carry all authority throughout your children's generation. It will carry all authority for all time in heaven and on earth. And when Paul was talking about Jesus in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 20, he says, now he, speaking of Jesus, now he is far above any ruler. He is far above any authority. He is far above any power. He is far above any leader. He is far above anything else, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the what? For the benefit of the what? He put him in charge for the benefit of the church. And we're not talking about a building. We're not talking about an organization. No, he put him as the head over everything. He gave him authority over all things for your benefit, so that when you call and ask on his name, you can get whatever you ask for, because there is authority in the name that he told you to use. There is authority in the name that he gave you permission to use. And it's this concept that we must understand. Understand that all things are under the authority of Christ. And it was Jesus that told his disciples, because the Father gave me authority, now I give you authority. I am giving you what the Father has given me. In Philippians chapter 2, I love this verse in verse 9, it says, therefore God elevated him to the highest place of honor and gave him the name above every other name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You see, we've been talking all series long that Jesus is God. It's the mystery of the Trinity. That God is in three persons. There is God the Father, there is God the Son, and there is God the Holy Spirit. Jesus is God, and there is no other name but God's that would be sufficient for us to have access to God. I want you to think about that for a moment. There is no other name but God's name that would be sufficient for us to have access to God. So we approach God through God because that's what God decided. You know, just give your mind a second to kind of wrap around that. That was God's decision that we would approach him through himself, through his son. Every time we pray, maybe you don't even know why people finish their prayers and pray in Jesus' name. Maybe you don't even know why we get to the end of the prayer and we say, in the name of Jesus we pray. Maybe you don't know why we say, in the name that is above every name. We ask these things and we pray. It's because every time we pray in the name of Jesus, we are reminded that only his name, only his sacrifice, only his life, it is only him that allows us to be in fellowship and give us access to the Father. And when you think about the name of Jesus, Mary didn't name Jesus. Joseph didn't name Jesus. God named Jesus, and he sent the name through an angel to bring it to his parents and say, you're going to name him Jesus because this name is going to be elevated by the Father. He's going to have a name that is above every name, and this is the name that God decided for him to have. You see, the Bible makes it clear that we've been granted access to declare the name of Jesus. We have been granted access to experience the miracles and the breakthroughs that come from the name that is above every other name. And this morning, we just want to give you four things that the name of Jesus does today. Four things. I encourage, if you got a pencil, a pen, a piece of paper, get out, write these things down, put them in your phone, because I believe these things are going to help you throughout the week. Four things that Jesus does today.
The first thing is the name of Jesus heals. The name of Jesus heals. The name of Jesus heals because Jesus is a healer. Jesus is a healer. There's a story in the Bible that I love. It's one of my favorites because as a child, I thought this guy's name was so cool. It's about a beggar, a blind beggar named Blind Bartimaeus. And Bartimaeus heard that Jesus was coming by, and so he started to cry out to get Jesus' attention. And everybody told him to be quiet. Everybody told him to stop making such a ruckus. Everybody told him, you know what, you just need to be content in your situation. And he would not shut up. And finally, this is what happened. Jesus heard him. He stopped and said, tell him to come here. So they called to the blind man. Cheer up, they said. Come on, he's calling you. Bartimaeus threw aside his coat, jumped up, and came to Jesus. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked. Can you imagine what was going through Bartimaeus' mind when he asked that? Do you think that he wanted to go, I'm the blind guy here. You know, like, is this not obvious what I want you to do for me? But he asked him that, and Bartimaeus told him. He said, my rabbi, I want to see. And Jesus said to him, go, your faith has healed you. Instantly, the man could see, and he followed Jesus down the road. Because Jesus is a healer. Because Jesus is a healer. All over the New Testament, he healed people. He healed many, many people. Because he's a healer, his disciples used his name to heal. In the story that we just read, we see the disciples walking to the temple, minding their own business, and they pass someone who's lame. And Peter is asked for some money, and Peter goes, I haven't fished in a really long time. I don't have any money. I don't have what you're asking for, but I have something better. And he says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. There's power in the name of Jesus for healing. But we don't believe that this was limited to the first century. We don't believe that this was limited to a few stories in a book that we read for inspiration. No, James makes it clear that healing is still available in the name of Jesus. He says in James 5:14, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of Jesus.
The name of Jesus still heals today. Many of you know that I was in Zambia, in Africa, in June, and I had gone with Pastor Johannes Amritzer, who preached here earlier in the year, and we took a team of about 100 people, and five, six days, we did street ministry out in the streets, and we would roll into find a supermarket or a very crowded place, and man, we would set up a sound system, start playing music, people would start coming, and then we would do a few dances, and had a little drama, a five-minute presentation of the gospel, invited people to receive Christ, prayed for healing there, and at one of these street ministry times, man, it was so crowded. There was probably 400 or 500 people that had gathered around in this small area. And when we got to the time of ministry for praying for healing, there was a guy that had walked up. And because it was so tight, I was trying to assist and kind of organize and find some of our team members to pray for certain people that were coming forward for healing. And, you know, people would come for anything. Sometimes it was obvious. Sometimes they would come on crutches and you would know that there was something wrong. But sometimes they would just walk up and they would just simply have a need that they need to be prayed for. But this one guy that walked up, I knew immediately what he was coming for, because when he walked up for prayer, one eye looked completely normal and the other eye was completely glazed over, like serious like cataracts. I mean, you could just see a yellow type film over his left eye. And when I saw him, I grabbed somebody and I put them with him to pray. And this guy was a fireman from Modesto, California, who had just come on the trip. And I keep on doing my job, and I'm finding people to pray. And 2 minutes later, I'm walking back by, and I look at this man who had just had a yellow glazed over eye. And when I glance back at him, both of his eyes are completely normal. And the fireman grabs me and he says, Pastor, I think we have a miracle here. And I said, I think we do. I think your perception is good, little fireman. Great, great job. I mean, I was amazed. And so, man, we had him come up and testify to the healing power of the Lord. But you see, I want you to know today that on the course of that trip, we saw dozens of people healed, blind eyes healed. We saw dozens of deaf ears opened up. We saw people that hadn't walked in 12 years get up and walk. We saw babies that were 3 years old that were lame from the waist down, from the time they were born, begin to kick their legs and stand on their own two feet as they held their mother's hand. We saw miracles happen, and miracles happen because the name of Jesus still has the power to heal, and somebody needs to say amen. Here's number two. The second thing that the name of Jesus does today is that the name of Jesus saves. The name of Jesus saves. In our story, we saw there in Acts chapter 4, as Peter and John are standing there before the council, they get to the end, the last verse that we read, and they said, there is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. You see, the name of Jesus saves because Jesus is a Savior. Because Jesus is a Savior. There's a story in Luke chapter 5 of a man who was paralyzed, and he had four really good friends, and they put the paralyzed man on a mat, and these four friends carry this man for a long way just trying to get to Jesus because they believed that there was healing in Jesus. And so they bring their friend, but much to their surprise, when they arrive at the place Jesus was, they couldn't even get into the front door. There were so many people crammed in the house and flowing out of the house. house. And man, these guys said, man, we didn't carry you all this way for nothing. And so they climb up on the roof and they start removing pieces of the roof. And they take their friend on this mat and they drop their friend down right in front of Jesus. And when Jesus looks up and he sees their faith and he sees what they were doing, he looks at this man and he says, young man, your sins are forgiven. What was he saying? He was saying, young man, today salvation has walked into your life. Today you have been forgiven. Today you have received salvation. And then, man, that really made some people mad. They said, who is this man to say only God can forgive sins? And Jesus just looked at that man and he said, well, go ahead, rise and get up and take up your mat and go home. And he says, what is it? Is it any easier for me to forgive sins? I did this so you would understand that if I have the authority to call a crippled man to stand and walk, then I also have the authority to forgive sins, because you need to know something about my name. I have been given all authority on heaven and earth, and I've got the authority to heal. I also have the authority to save. And the great news about it is this man represents every man. And if Jesus had the authority and the ability to forgive his sins, then Jesus has the authority and the ability to forgive your sins as well. That's why Romans 10:13 says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For everyone, say everyone. Say everyone. I just had to look up the definition of the word everyone. I mean, I felt like I have a pretty good understanding of what everyone meant, but I just went to the dictionary and I looked up the definition of everyone, and it says every person. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Every person, that means all, that means anybody. It doesn't matter if you're a paralyzed man on a mat or if you're high in a crack house, everybody who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. It doesn't matter if you're tending the bar or you're drinking at the bar, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. It doesn't matter what you've done in your past, and it doesn't matter how dark your future might look today, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved, because the name of Jesus saves us no matter what condition we find ourselves in, because it doesn't have anything to do with our name or our reputation or our goodness. It has everything to do with the name that is above every name. And when we call on that name, the name of Jesus still saves today.
1 Corinthians 6:11 says this, some of you were once like that, but you were cleansed. You were made holy. You were made right with God by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Some of you were like that. We all know what that is, right? It's those things that we judge in other people. It's those things that we might rant about very unwisely on Facebook. It's those things that we're irritated by in our in-laws, but we mirror in our own life. It's those things, right? It's being like that. We even say it to our kids, don't we? Don't be like that, right? Don't be like that. And yet we know we all are like that. And the scripture says that not only does the name of Jesus just save you once from hell, the name of Jesus saves you from being like that. The name of Jesus makes you holy. It makes you sanctified. See, there is a transformation to salvation. There is a process, a journey that we're able to go on, where God takes us from being over here and God moves us over here, where we want to be in our hearts, where we need to be. And you may say, well, that's not what I want. That's what's so cool about God. He even changes what we want. He even opens our eyes to see new possibilities. You know, I have friends who I've seen get saved, and they will sit there and they will study their Bible hardcore with cigarettes in their mouth and a glass of wine on the table, and they're just into it. And I'm not preaching against either one of those things. I'm just telling you that through the transformation of their life, nobody told them to stop doing anything. God just started changing their desires. And not just changing what they did, but having them do different things. Suddenly, they started showing up at the rescue mission and helping out a little bit. Suddenly, they had time for the people in their lives who didn't have quite as much as they had. Their lives started to change. And that's part of what the name of Jesus does. It saves us. It doesn't just save us from hell. It saves us from being like that. The third thing that the name of Jesus does is the name of Jesus frees. The name of Jesus frees. In John 8, we see the name of Jesus becoming a refuge for a woman who's caught up in an incredibly unfair situation. There's this woman who is caught in the act of adultery. And unless I'm mistaken, it takes two in the act of adultery. But I don't see any man standing sheepishly by her side. I see her alone in front of a group of men who caught her in the act of adultery, and they bring her embarrassed and frightened and scared to death to Jesus. And they're using her. It's not even about her. They're using her. They're religious. They're saying, you know what? We're going to get Jesus. Let's take this lady and let's use her to get him in trouble. So they throw her at his feet. She didn't know in that moment that that was the safest place that she could ever be, is at the feet of Jesus. And sometimes life throws us at the feet of Jesus, where we suddenly don't have anything else and we're scared to death. But what we have to know is that there's no place that's safer than the feet of Jesus. And so there she is. She's at the feet of Jesus, and they say, what would you say to do to her? What would you say? And he says, let him without sin cast the first stone. They walk away, and then he turns to the woman. He doesn't just ignore her and walk off like, challenge taken care of. I dealt with the Pharisees. That's it. No, for Jesus, it's not about them. It's about the person who's right there, who's broken, who's used, who's been thrown away by society. And so he reaches down, and he says, where are your accusers? She says, they're gone. He says, neither do I condemn you. Because I'm sure she was looking at him going, are you going to kill me now? They may be gone, but maybe that was your plan. He says, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. He created a place for her to be free, but he didn't just create a place for her to be free. He created an opportunity for her to create a whole new life. To leave what she had been before and to become something different. Not because she was scared, not because she was forced to, but because she was given mercy and grace and an opportunity. What a moment. See, Jesus frees. The name of Jesus frees because that's who Jesus is. Religion may condemn you, but Jesus will make a place for you. You know, he saved her from sudden death. Just like he saves us. He saves us from an eternity apart from God. But he also gave her permission and a command to leave the life she'd been living and become a different person. And this is the great news, is that when we come to Jesus, when we come to him broken, when we come to him needing something, he doesn't just save us from instant death. He makes us into a new creation.
The name of Jesus frees, and Galatians 5 tells us that it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. It is for you to live in freedom. That is the reason that Christ has set you free. And then he says, so stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. What Jesus is saying, in other words, is Christ sets us free from the beginning, but we all know that it is a continual transformation. And that continual transformation of remaining free comes from whenever you plant yourself in church, when you plant yourself in His Word, when you plant yourself in prayer, when you plant yourself in His presence, when you determine in your heart that I'm going to stand here in this place and I will not be moved. I will not go back to being who I used to be. I will not go back to hanging out with the people I used to hang out with. I refuse to go back and do those things and say those things and associate with those things, because I've got to be planted right here, because Jesus set me free so that I could remain free all of my life. And the freedom that we have in Christ, it isn't defined by our circumstances. I want you to hear me this morning. Freedom in Christ is not determined by your circumstances today. In Acts chapter 4, the story that we're reading, it would sound like the name of Jesus is putting people into jail instead of breaking them out of jail. It was the name of Jesus that got them thrown in prison. It is the name of Jesus that has them standing before the religious council, being incriminated and asking questions and having to answer those questions. It is the name of Jesus. But over and over again in the Bible, we see God's people, even in the midst of difficult situations, even in the midst of very tough circumstances, we see God's people living free on the inside, because God's freedom is first and foremost internal. That's why you can have love, joy, peace, patience, happiness in the Holy Spirit, no matter what is being said over your life. It is this type of freedom that allows a former witch doctor by the name of Paul I from Vietnam to say, "I was more free as a broke prisoner than I ever was as a wealthy witch doctor," because freedom happens on the inside no matter what is happening on the outside. And the name of Jesus frees. It's His name that allowed Paul and Silas to be free in the midst of the Roman jail. It was His name that loosed the chains off of Peter and allowed him to escape from prison. It is His name that allowed men who were bound by greed to become generous. It is His name that opened the door of freedom to each and every one. And His name is still freeing us from our sins. His name is still freeing us from addiction. His name is still creating a space that allows us to run to, so that we can find refuge in Him and in Him alone. Because when we run to that name, we are running under the name that is above every name. We are running to the name that will protect us. We will run to the name that will heal us. We run to the name that will save us. And we run to the name that frees us.
Proverbs 18:10 says this: "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous man runs into it and is safe." See, Jesus made us righteous when we call on the name of the Lord Jesus, and we are safe because of that. You know, you can't be free unless there's a refuge for you. You can't be free unless there's a refuge for you. There has to be a place, a space for you to be free. And yet Jesus is that refuge. Jesus is our refuge. We can cast our cares on Him. Jesus is our refuge. He will take our burdens. Jesus is our refuge. He will guard our heart and our mind with His peace. Jesus is a refuge. And in His name, no matter what's raging around you, you can truly be free. Fourth thing that the name of Jesus still does today is the name of Jesus empowers. The name of Jesus empowers. The name of Jesus empowers because Jesus is powerful. Luke 8, verses 42 through 46 tell us this story. As Jesus was on His way, by the way, He was on His way to heal somebody else. As Jesus was on His way, the crowds almost crushed Him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind Him and touched the edge of His cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, Master, I love Peter. He's like the master of the obvious, right? So he says, Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you. But Jesus said, Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me.
It's such an interesting story here as Jesus is pressing and fighting his way through a crowded street. And as Destiny said, he is on his way because there is a woman who had a sick daughter. And he knew that it was a race against time to get there. And so all of his disciples are trying to press his way through the crowd. And the street was so crowded, they couldn't even get down the street. And in the midst of all of this, Jesus just stops. And he says, Somebody touched me. Somebody deliberately touched me. Somebody didn't just bump into me. Somebody didn't mistakenly just brush up against my shoulder. Somebody wasn't reaching out to give me a pat on the back just to say, hey, go for it, Jesus. We're behind you. He said, somebody deliberately touched me because somebody deliberately needed me. And he said, I know that because I felt power leave my body. You see, the disciples had experienced this power. They knew that Jesus was powerful. They are the ones that saw a few loaves and a few fishes feed 5,000 men plus women and children. These disciples had seen Jesus turn water into wine. These disciples had seen blind eyes open and deaf ears open. These disciples had seen the lame get up and walk. These disciples knew one thing, that there is power that is inside that man. They knew if they could plug into this power source, that there was a power in him. And here Jesus said, I felt power go out of me. You see, Jesus felt power go out because Jesus is powerful. And Jesus says, somebody just plugged into me. Somebody just plugged their faith into me. Somebody just plugged their hope into me. Somebody just plugged their belief into me. And when they plugged into me, everything stopped and power went out of me. Oh, but the disciples knew this all too well. Because the disciples had been gathered by Jesus when it was just the 12. And Jesus said, I'm going to send you out. And I'm sending you out right now in my name. And I'm sending you out to cast out demons. I'm sending you out to heal the sick. I'm sending you out to preach the gospel. And the 12 went out and they did what Jesus told them to do. And they came back with great reports about what God had done. God called a bigger group together, a group of 72. And he's told them the same thing. They went out and they saw miracles happen. They saw breakthroughs happen. And the 72 came back to Jesus and they said, man, whenever we preached in your name, when we prayed in your name, when we spoke your name, we saw miracles happen. They knew there was miracle power in the name of Jesus. So it is no mistake that day when Peter and John were walking into the temple, that they just stopped when they saw the lame man sitting at the gate. And they said, in the name of Jesus. And they spoke the power that is in the name that had empowered them. And the man who couldn't walk, all of a sudden jumped up on his feet and he was healed. Because the name of Jesus empowers. And in Acts chapter 4, verse 7, these religious rulers and leaders called in Peter and John. They brought in the two disciples. And the leaders demanded, by what power or in whose name? By what power or in whose name have you done this? They said, we can't deny what's happened. That was the crippled man, and he's standing right next to you. The testimony is standing. The testimony is jumping. The testimony is leaping. We can't deny that an act of God happened. We can't deny that healing has entered into his body. We can't deny that, but we want to know two things. We need to know this. By what power or in whose name? But you see, the disciples that heard Jesus in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, tell them that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. There will be a power that enters your life. You will receive the power of God when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. They had just heard Jesus tell them that. But they also heard Jesus say this in John 14, 26. He says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. And what the religious leaders didn't understand, that it wasn't in a power or in a name. What they didn't understand was that the power was in the name. They thought it was two separate things, but the disciples said, no, there is a power that is upon us, and the power came from the Holy Spirit. And Jesus told us that the Holy Spirit would come in his name. It would be his representative on the earth. And so that's why today there is power in the name of Jesus. That's why today you can live an empowered life. That's why today you can see people healed and people saved and people set free. That's why today you can be empowered, because you're not walking around on your own name. You're not walking around on your own knowledge. You're not walking around in your own wisdom. You're not walking around carrying all of your degrees. You're not walking around carrying all your Bible studies. No, you are carrying the Spirit of God on the inside. And if it was enough power for the disciples, let me tell you, it'll be enough power for you as well. The name of Jesus will still heal your body. The name of Jesus will still save your soul. And that's why we sing, it's by his stripes we are healed. It's in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on, lift your voice.
Thanks for listening today. We hope you were encouraged by the Word of God. If you'd like more information on North Point Community Church, you can find us online at www.northpoint.ccpeople.com.